Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian.
And we are back with another episode of, not the lockdown, but this week it is Asian.
Whoa, it's back. Oh, God. Oh, back for a little bit. We're probably going to go back into lockdown with the second wave is coming.
Yeah.
And that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, it turns out we talked to Cuomo. Asian, not Asian is phase one. So it's back. Yeah,
we're phase one, dude. We're phase one. We're right there. It's construction workers, you know, veterinary technicians, Asian American comedian podcasters. So here we are, baby. We are here. We just finished. It is 9:41 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm, on what day is today? June 5th. June 5th. I can't believe it's fucking June 5th.
The reason why we're recording at so late is because our guest is in a different time zone. He's in, I don't even know what the time zone is. It's the Australia time zone. Ooh.
Down under standard time.
Yeah. What is that? Southern hemisphere yeah. Shit. His toilet flushes the other way, guys. And we've had this man on the pod before. He's a... You know, he's the man. He's doing it for the culture. Hilarious man. He's on The Daily Show. He's on The Crazy Rich Asians. He's on all kinds of stuff, man. And you know what? He just told us before he came on that he's been saying no to all podcasts and Zoom shows, except this one. This is the only one. So this is a coronavirus exclusive. Everybody.
Cuomo said he had to do it. Cuomo said he had to do it.
We had to get permission from Cuomo. So yeah, get excited for Ronnie Chang, everybody.
Oh my God.
Hey guys.
Ronnie.
Thanks for having me, man.
This is crazy. Ronnie, thank you so much for coming on the show again. It's fuck all this other bullshit. It's just nice to see you.
It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you guys. Nice to see your homes. Mick, I didn't actually know you had tattoos.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I've never seen you wear short sleeve.
Oh, that's true. And when we do jiu-jitsu, I'm always wearing long sleeve brass guards and like even, long spats too.
Yeah, but even when you perform, I don't think you perform in short sleeve. Did you get any corona tattoos?
Oh, you should.
You know, I thought about because for a while they were starting to shut things down and like tattoo shops for some reason were still open.
Yeah.
And I was because they had shut down the jiu-jitsu schools and they had shut down everything. And I was like, okay, if I can't do jiu-jitsu, maybe I can get a tattoo. For some reason, that made sense to me. Uh-huh. But no, I didn't do anything like that.
Would you tattoo like the corona, like the... You know the illustration of what Corona is supposed to look like? I would probably have
the ball and it's floating inside a bottle of Corona beer and dude, nailed it.
That would be a cool one.
Yeah. Or if you just get a map of China with Wuhan on the star, you know?
Yeah, Jesus. Just a star, you know, been here, done that.
Jesus.
What I love is thank you so much. You haven't been doing podcasts and we were going to have you on our Zoom show. You were like, oh, I'm not sure. You didn't want to do this, our Zoom show. Ouch, that hurts, but we understand.
Dude, that's too many, man. Guys, that's too many. Do you know the second lockdown started, do you know how many fucking people were like, you know what? You know what an original idea is to solve this? We'll do an online comedy show. The number of fucking online comedy show requests I got. Yo, I'm like down to 5 a day now. It's like,
really?
You know what? Guys, I can't. There's too many online Zoom shows. Like, and A lot of it is from legitimate like comedians and promoters in New York, around the world, New York City. You know, guys who, you know, we do comedy, we produce comedy, we're just trying to continue it.
Right.
I totally get that. But then there's a lot of opportunistic you know, fucks who are like
us.
Yep, yeah, like these two dudes,
like these two guys right here. No, there's a lot of opportunistic like people who are like fancy themselves as, you know, like event producers or something, and they're well intentioned but so misguided in what they're trying to do, because they're like, hey, you know what would be cool during this period? People need to laugh, and some people need money, so you know I'm gonna do an online comedy show. This will solve everything. The online comedy show for charity. Everyone will get behind this, right? And it's like it's well intentioned, but dude, it's like, first of all, is the guy organizing it? I bet if that person has never done comedy before or organized comedy events, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're just trying to borrow everyone's, quite frankly, everyone else's talent and maybe their profile to like boost their own thing to do, you know. And it's so misguided, because I feel like, honestly, is what I feel like, it's like if you're able to spare money to donate, you're just gonna donate money. You're not gonna watch a show and donate because of that. And two, it's like for comedians, you know, you gotta be careful, because this medium doesn't do well for, you know, for stand up. You could live, if it lives forever on the internet, and you don't know what rights you're signing away to these people, because they could easily take your video or your stand up, your online stand up routine. They could just put it on YouTube. They could own it forever. You know, you don't want that. Mm. You don't want that. You know,
see,
hassle.
This is why you're famous, Ronnie, because we didn't consider any of that. We're just like this is great. I mean,
I've been saying this to every single show. You know?
In fact, we just did the thing you just shat on. We're like, we did a thing today. We're like, we'll donate the money to the Black Lives Matter. We literally just did that thing.
We should have gotten out of the way so other people could just go straight to donating.
But again, like I said, I get it, and there's some legitimate people doing it, like you guys, and there's legitimate comedy producers. But then there's a lot of illegitimate people who are like putting two and like who think they're like connecting the dots of like, hey, why don't you just do stand up online? You know, it's the same kind of people who are like, hey, why don't you do stand up over my Zoom call, in my literally like a business, you know, one of the corporate things right now is hey, we're having a lot of Zoom meetings and it's getting really dreary, let's get a comic to come into a Zoom meeting. And dude, it's just, I, you know,
somebody asked us to do that also. We did say yes, and it fell through. It fell through immediately.
This is like an MBA. This is like a comedy MBA class with Ronnie Chang. We're literally doing everything wrong.
So much. You're like snatching the penny right out of our hand, you know, with the technique, you know.
Dude, hey guys, like again, comics, you gotta do what you gotta do. And by the way, it's actually, if you are able to do those kind of shows, that means you're a great comic, you know. I guess I'm just not good enough comic to want to.
Oh God,
deal with that
well,
stuff, you know?
No, but
tough,
you know,
it's a tough environment.
To your point, like our show, you know, because we have full control over what goes down, and we can
mute
people and stuff, and our fans are very excited for comedy, so. You know, our show is pretty good, but like we have done so many shows that are so bad. We're like, I've done shows on Instagram Live where I'm just like, there's no audience, and the other person blocks the camera like this, you know. So you're just like talking to yourself, and honestly, for a second, it feels like, oh, am I like in a mental institution, like banging my head against the wall? Like you have no idea what the fuck is going on, you know. So
for me, you know, I'm coming from a place of like, I love stand up comedy, you know, I want it to exist in its form, you know, and I feel like there's in its how it's meant to be, which is live. And so I feel like, yeah, hey, you know what, if that means we don't do stand up for 2 months, that means when we come back, people want it more, you know. That's how I see it, you know. I always see stand up comedy as less is more. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I've always done it. I've never put my stuff online. You know, I've never to my own detriment, by the way, because you guys are really smart with it. You guys are prolific with your content and sketches, and I've never been able to put my stuff out, because my whole thing was, I wanted it, you know, if people wanted to see me, they had to come and see me live.
Because
I just wasn't on TV, and when I was starting out, I wasn't on TV, I wasn't on the internet. I mean, I was, but I didn't put sketches on. And so people would like hear about me, and then they would come and watch me live, you know, and that's how I wanted it. And because of that, you know, I've kept that mentality. And so my whole thing is, I rather not do a Instagram live show where I'm eating shit to myself, and you know, I also believe like you know, don't make it too too easy for the fans. Like, let them invest a bit emotionally. Don't let them like sit on their goddamn sofa just like and then they go, this sucks. Because they compare it to some stupid meme photo on Instagram. They're like, this meme photo made me laugh more than this guy. So therefore, stand-up comedy sucks and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? Just go, like, go watch whatever the hell you want to watch. When stand-up comes back, we'll come back. We'll come back stronger. You know, people will come out. And that's the medium it's supposed to be, you know? I hope that's how I feel.
That's a great transition because, you know, I saw recently you had to kind of postpone slash cancel your tour dates, right? Like, you know, it's, you know, you're really, you know, experiencing the impact of this. You know, what's your sort of take on the future of like stand-up? Because, you know, you made a comment about, hey, maybe a couple months. But to be honest with you, like, it looks like it's going to be much longer than a couple of months. Maybe... counting from March, perhaps a year, you know? So like, what's sort of like, what's on your mind in terms of like, yes, you know, for me, I would love to do comedy live too, but maybe there's a part of me that's like, well, fuck, I may not be able to get that flavor till March 2021.
We're gonna have to like literally have a show where at the door you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and then you sit down. Okay, great. Here's your lollipop. You know, like, dude, what do you think's gonna happen? You know, we've been talking about it, but we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, between like the scientists, of all people, it's like scientists and Hollywood and like Live Nation and everyone, like, we're combining forces to try to find a vaccine because we're
You know, I've got to see Ronnie Chang live again. Yeah. You know, he's like working hard.
Yeah, like, who's the biggest touring guys? What, Drake, Jay-Z, all these guys are like, yeah, we need to get this vaccine, you know, like, so, yeah, I think the vaccine will obviously solve everything, but this is what I think. I think that first of all, I don't know, so that's why I canceled the show, because I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what it is. I didn't want to put people in that position, you know. So that's why I postponed my tour to 2021. And also, even if it comes back, I didn't know whether they do like a thing where, you know, because this year I'm kind of moving up into theaters, and I didn't know whether they do that thing where it's like, oh, 25% capacity only, you know what I mean, for like a 1,000-seat venue, let's just do one in every 4 seats or something. You know, I didn't know how that was gonna work, so I was like, you know what, let's just push it to next year when we actually know more. And I think that's been the strategy of the world, quite frankly, is to just lock down so that we know more and then we can move forward. So to answer your question also more specifically, I think that what will happen is we'll, at least at the start, we'll go back to like, you know, 50-seaters or 100-seaters, smaller venues, less people. The same way that when restaurants reopen, right now, I'm in Australia right now, and restaurants, the phase one was 10 people, and then now we're in phase two where it's 50 people. So, I think that's what's going to happen with live touring. It's going to be smaller, which quite frankly suits me just fine, because I'm kind of, you know, I'm very lucky to be in a position. I kind of do stand up for the love of the game, and those intimate venues are, you know, great for stand up. It's in a lot of cases, like, sometimes they're better for those intimate venues.
But don't you think it's going to be like, it's not going to be like 50 people packed, right? It's like this and then like 6 feet apart. So they're going to be scattered.
Maybe. Yeah, you know? Maybe it'll be 1 in 3. We'll see how it works out. You know, so this is the responsible vision, right? The responsible vision is smaller venues, spacing in between. The realistic vision is how much money you want to bet that as soon as Disney World reopens, it's going to be packed. So America is the Wild West, man. America is going to be like, they're going to be, you know, I think people are just going to be like, it's over. Coronavirus is over, we're going. Yeah, I think that, I honestly think for better or for worse, that's what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I can feel it in Australia already. When it reopened, all these places were packed instantly.
Hey, thanks for coming over, Kelly.
Oh, wow, Fumi. This is so nice that you have me over.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday night, so I thought we could maybe get together and do stuff. So
yes.
This is, let's go into my room. I have a really big apartment.
This apartment is so big. I wouldn't have imagined it to be so big at all.
Yeah, I'm a pretty successful podcast. You should check it out.
I've heard, yeah. So nice. Oh, we're still walking so far.
Okay, check it out.
Ooh.
Now this is where the magic happens.
Ooh, never heard that joke before. So yeah. Fresh. You're so funny.
Now, are you ready to get down and do the dirty on this bed? What do you think about this bed?
I've never seen a bed like this. It looks so nice and supportive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do all the positions on this bed.
Oh my gosh. Including missionary?
Including missionary. Fumi's favorite and only option.
Where did you get this mattress from?
This mattress is called Helix Sleep Mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that just takes 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you.
Whether you're a side sleeper, hot sleeper, like a plush or firm bed, with Helix, there's no more confusion and no more compromising on an average mattress.
Helix Sleep was even awarded the number one bed overall mattress pick of 2019 by GQ and Wired Magazine.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you up to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights free, risk-free, unlike what we're about to do right now, Kelly. Wink, wink.
Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Asian.
That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/Asian for up to $125 off.
Oh, you got a condom?
I wanted to talk about, because you're also, you know, you've seen everything, the horrible stuff that's going on in America. And I think, you know, sometimes... As American, we just sort of are like, we're very focused. Of course, we're in New York. A lot of stuff happening in New York. You know, a lot of protests happening all over the country. You know, what's the view like from over where you are? Because I know you're very active. You're on Twitter. You're seeing this. You're very outspoken. What's sort of the view from Australia? And then what's your sort of, you know, how are you handling it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, from outside of... It honestly looks like a war zone, because if you follow the news, and if you, God forbid, you're on Twitter, oh my God, it's like, what is going on in America? It's like, even before, with just the coronavirus coverage, I was saying how like every 5 seconds you go from like, oh, everything's going to be okay, to, oh my God, the world is ending. You know, you keep getting these emotion spikes. So I actually had to delete Twitter. I got off it.
And I saw that.
I wanted to ask you about that, because you, yeah. I don't know if it was Instagram or Twitter, but you made some status that was like, you had people message you that they're going to unfollow you or something, and you're very mad about that. Well, wait, can you just talk me through what happened there? Because I just saw it. I didn't understand the context, and I was like, oh, is Ronnie getting trolled right now? Like, what's going on?
Oh no! I just, in general, like wherever, you know, wherever you post, whether it's a joke or it's like a political statement or whatever, you know, people make a big deal about like unfollowing you, and so I was just like, I was like, I don't care if you unfollow me. I don't give a fuck about. I don't put anything on Instagram or Twitter. Like it, you know, like it's not my. It's not my thing. Was it
like the classic, you know, I follow you for comedy, not for politics kind of thing? Because I've seen a lot of people get that.
I got one or two of those. Also got like, I got people unfollowing, making a big deal about unfollowing me for like, if I made like a political statement in support of black people, they unfollowed me.
Right, right. Hey, excuse me. Hold on here, you know? Yeah.
It wasn't just unfollowing, it's them making a big deal about it. And then sometimes I get unfollows because of like a joke I do, and then they're like, this joke, blah, 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 or, they, you know, they find it offensive, and they're like, unfollow or whatever. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah. Social media is so tough in these times, because even when you think you're doing something good, like, for example, posting a thing that says, like, Yellow Peril supports Black Panther, or whatever it is, you know, Mike has something weird where he was like, hey, guys, I donated to this thing, maybe you should too. And he's getting DMs like, well, that's the wrong one. You're not supposed to donate to... You know, there's a lot of that, you know?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I think I made this point on Twitter as well. It was like, you know, going after what people are posting and what and when, you know, that's not helpful, you know? And I think... like being lost in the minutia of social media is not helpful. I do think that you know, the cynical people are like, what does posting do? It doesn't do anything, virtual signaling, whatever. But I do think that everyone coming out in support of a cause at the same time, just digitally showing your support, I think it shows that most people are on the same page with it, you know what I mean? And it does help. It does help change culture, because you know that a lot of people agree with you, you know? So that's the answer, the kind of like cynical, like, what does social media do thing. And obviously you have to turn that into real world action as well, you know. But we live in a digital world now, and the internet is the medium of our generation, right? So that's how we communicate. So it doesn't mean nothing. It's how we communicate. It's not meaningless. And then the second thing also is just to what Fumi was saying just now is like, I think we really have to learn how to deal with the internet and people talking at us and like not take the bait. You know, I think not taking the bait is a very important part of being online. And I think it's something that, you know, don't take the bait of trolls and quite frankly, things which might be bots, you know, you don't even know what they are. You end up arguing with a bot or arguing with a troll who either maybe they sincerely believe what they're thinking, but the way they're expressing it, they're just trying to get emotional reaction out of you, you know. And so, at a Daily Show, the executive producer Steve Bodo put it once. He's like, "Well, we're only now building the antibodies to deal with the internet." You know, before that, we didn't know. You know, you open your mind to the internet, thinking it's this, you know, place
everything's
of
gonna
knowledge
be great.
and
everything's everyone's equal. Yeah. Right. It's gonna save everybody. No,
yeah,
then Twitter happens.
Twitter happens. There's a lot of shit on there. So I think that we need to educate ourselves and, you know, the next generation, quite frankly, and we should educate the older generation as well, like that you can't just go on internet unprotected. If you're gonna go on the internet
unprotected,
I mean, you have a great bit about that like used to, you know, like about going on the internet, you know, just willy nilly, like where you're like you're smoking, you know.
Yeah like it's if you're gonna go on, you gotta understand that going on Twitter or the internet or comment sections is playing with fire, and you can play with fire and like whatever, but you know, understand that it can burn both ways. And I think we all have to be honest with ourselves. You know, it's a very tough guy thing to be like, I don't care what people say on the internet. You know, I don't care what people say about me. But if it really does affect you, you have to be able to admit that and then like limit it. And don't take the bait, man. It's so funny. Like, I've been posting lately a lot of like, don't take the bait, guys. Protect your mental health and your energy. People will like tell me about they will get angry at what the troll that I posted. So I'll post like someone's I'll post someone's message to me. I'll be like, "Hey guys, this is bait. Don't take this bait." And then they'll get angry at what the guy is saying, and I'm like, "No, that's the point. Don't take the bait. Don't do that. It's very easy to take the bait, you know? I mean,
I'm sometimes on Reddit, and one of the best things about Reddit is you have this thing where if you post something, you have this option of turning off replies coming into your inbox. That means like you won't see if people reply to you, they can reply to you, but you won't see that they replied to you. And it's amazing because it's weird because it's almost like the less you are in contact with people, because the promise of the internet was like the more contact and the more ideas we can share, the better it's going to be. And it turns out that that's not true. Like, the more you can share, the faster conspiracies can spread and lies can spread and like horrible like images and stuff like that. And and to your point, Ronnie, like, yeah, people getting under your skin because they know what to do. But like if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and it's like it doesn't exist. It's crazy how much that's true. I want to talk to sorry, go ahead, Fumi.
Oh, sorry, I was just gonna say that's interesting because we, you know, I work at Comedy Central now, and we had to have training for this. We had to have training about how to handle comments, especially, I mean, you know, for us, I think we get like, "You're an idiot," or "You're not funny." But like, if you're women, you just get like completely different. You just get you know, just like, it's unfathomable the kind of shit they say. So like, we had to have these trainings where we can like build a little bit of antibodies. Like, hey, don't look at it. Or that's really what it is. It's like they just tell you not to look at it. But it's tough because, you know, you spend time on these little sketches, and you're like, "Oh, I wonder if people liked it." And you get on, and they're like, "Asian guy, small dick." And I'm like, "Thanks, man. You know, it's like I made this for you." And
The trick really is just, I mean, I don't think anyone has ever liked anything I've done. So, I mean, it's consistent. It's fine. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you a little bit too about, because, you know, moving away from online, you know, you're also outspoken about, you know, sort of, you know, how the sort of old regime, the old white guys in Australia are. And
I didn't say white, I didn't say guys.
Yeah.
Everyone always thinks I'm saying white guy. I said old Australian people who are in decision-making positions in television and film. who are incompetent and out of touch. It's a very specific... like group.
I like that.
Yeah. Because people come in with white people or guys. I didn't say guys. I said old, incompetent Australian people in decision making positions in TV and film. Very specific.
I like that. That's very specific. That's you definitely went to law school. I respect the game. But you know, right now, you know, everything that's happening, I know we just said we're not going to talk about online, but like there was this little thing that happened with this little Duval person, and people were talking and people are talking about like what are Asian people, you know, around the world, Asian Americans, and you know, what are we doing to support protests, to support justice? You know, Fumi and I think we're trying to do what we can do, which is not a lot, but I mean, we're going through things and we're going to be having more discussions about that. Yeah. But you know, I wanted to get your perspective on that. You know, you're very outspoken. You know, I think you have a very strong point of view about certain things. And I want to ask, you know, what can Asian people do? Whether you're in Australia, whether you're in, you know, Asia proper, whether you're in America, to kind of like address things that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, that look, I don't have the answers to fix the world. I don't know how to fix this. I think a lot of it is also just listening to other people, what they're saying. You know, I think most of it is listening, supporting causes that you believe in. You know, and I mean, just like what you are doing, Mick. You know, you probably read something or heard something, and then you felt strongly, and so you said, "Hey, donate to this link." I'm sure you did some research on the link before you sent it, and then you believed in it, you know, and then people are like blah 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 this and that, but it's like you stood for something you believe in, you know,
with the whole Duval thing, which I know it wasn't like a Twitter beef, but initially it looked like it, and I was really excited. I'm like, oh my god, is he like going one-on-one with an R&B singer? That's fucking hilarious. but you know, it's not just him. There on Twitter and on the internet, there is these questions are popping up about like the people are questioning the Asian American allyship to the black community. And I think that's kind of interesting, because when Lil Duval posted that, he did say like, I don't mean this in like a hateful way, I'm just curious. A lot of people commented back, they're too busy calling the cops on George Floyd, because the guy who called the cops on George Floyd was like an Indian guy or something like that. He was Asian, as was one of the cops, right? So there is this, I'm not saying everybody feels that way, but there is still like some, A, it's being questioned, our allyship, and B, maybe some black people are still a little bit wary about that. And I think go ahead. I mean, I'm just curious to see if you, A, notice this pattern, and B, like, kind of like what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, there is. But I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of different types of people within any racial group. So, you know, you say like, all Asians behind black people? I'm sure there's a few or a lot who aren't. A lot of Asians for black people, I'm sure there's a lot who are, you know, and we live in this Brooklyn hipster bubble where we're all down, right? And then I'm sure there's a lot of people who aren't. So it's hard to, like, you know, we put all these generalities. Are Asian people for black people? Like, what the hell? There's like a ton. Yeah. Do you know how many people there are?
Subgroup?
Yeah. Like, it's just so weird to, like, make it, you know what I mean? So, like, well, are Asian people for us or against? Asian people are not for us because of this. And then black people don't like Asian people because of this. It's like, man, there's so many individuals in this, you know? And then you pick the, you know, you pick the friends you want to hang out with, right? Like, I want to hang out with the people who I stand with them, and they support me when I need it, you know? So, you know, and that it's too complicated, and there's too many individuals involved to be like, are Asian people like this and are black people like this or whatever, you know? And I think everyone constantly trying to push a narrative is what is the problem, right? Is that we keep trying to push these groups, you know, can we call this one group as a monolith, right? Mm. And I don't think it is. And the less you think about it as a monolith, probably the easier it is to process all this stuff, you know? Like on my Twitter feed, it's all Asian people trying to support Black Lives Matter, because I think ultimately Black Lives Matter will it will help Asian people You know what I mean? Yep. Because you, yep. I feel like the my understanding of Black Lives Matter is help those who are prejudiced in society, racially prejudiced in society. So, and sometimes Asian people fall in that category. So yeah. for me, it's like, I feel like helping promote Black Lives Matter, not only is it the right thing to do for my, you know, my black friends, I think ultimately it'll help us. Cause I don't see yeah. how you could be like hardcore Black Lives Matter and still hate on Asian people for
yeah
right. so, that would be weird.
It's so yeah, weird. Yeah. It'll be like Black Lives Matter, huh. but fuck these Asians. Like yeah, I, yeah, like, yeah, for yeah. me that doesn't compute. So that's yeah. why that gives me extra impetus to kind of get behind the cause. You know. Mm.
I feel that, man.
And also
yeah.
the other thing is like, well, Asian people are like what, 3% of the population? There's not that many of us, like
in America. Yeah, well, yeah. I think we're like 5%. So it's not a lot. We don't have a lot. Yeah,
yeah, it's not a lot. 3 or 5% of it. Like it's so when people are like, we don't see this, we don't see Asian people doing this. Yeah, you don't see Asian people doing anything. It's 5% of the population.
No, we're nowhere, bro.
Yeah, but we're there. We're out there. We're yeah, we are doing out this there. Podcast. We're out there doing what we can. Like I can't save the world from my Instagram stories, but I'll just keep.
Yeah.
If you want me to shit on things that I hate on Instagram, that's my forte. I can do that.
Dude,
all day.
I didn't know how much I would miss hearing you get mad at stuff, Ronnie. You know, that anger where you go fuck this, I threw my phone on the wall against the wall, you know, like god damn, I just need that energy back in my life, man. You know, it's like it's been too positive, you know. It's like yeah, I need that hatred.
It's still here, man. Come on my Instagram stories, watch me hate on things every day.
Okay, so there's two things I miss a lot. One, stand-up comedy. I miss stand-up. I just, you know, miss like going out and the energy of New York City, right? Going from one spot to the next spot and like doing your set and like that energy of being in the room, right? And then the other thing is I miss jiu-jitsu so much. And I think you guys might start opening soon. Like there are certain parts of Australia that are like, it's like certain kinds of gyms can open again or whatever. New yeah. York, I think best case scenario, I mean, and I don't even know. I think it's going to be one of those things you said where you're going to have to personally make a decision whether you're comfortable like potentially contracting the virus or not. I don't think we'll be able to do jiu-jitsu here for like maybe until August. And again, like this risk will just be there. You'll just have to quite sort of accept it. But I don't know. Have you been missing it, man? I don't know. For me, I'm like, I wear my belt sometimes around the house. Just like, I'll just put it on and I'm like, this is sick. And dude, my wife will just be like, you are a virgin. And I'm just like, I don't care. I don't give a shit. I just will wear it and I just miss it. I'll watch it on YouTube. I'll watch it on Instagram. How are you going through withdrawals like me? Cause I know you're a big good guy about it.
Damn, we're we're gonna bore literally 99% of the people listening,
I know,
including
me included.
Yeah, it's like, what are you guys talking about, jujitsu? But it's a serious problem, man, because it's a whole industry got wiped out, you know? Like
it
comedy,
did, yeah.
Comedy, at least you can still do it online if you want to. But you can't jujitsu someone online.
No, I cannot, no.
Yeah, so it's a whole industry that it's a subculture of
yes.
America that I got recently exposed to, so I feel passionately about. But yeah, it's a problem for these guys. I think, you know what it is? I think Texas, they're just like, come yeah. let's jujitsu
come,
in Texas.
Come do it.
Texas? No, yeah, I think Texas, yeah, I think for reals Texas is doing it.
Well, Mike, I mean, that's, I want to ask you that, and Ronnie too, is like, how, okay, so let's just say in August, they're like, hey, we don't have a vaccine, but we're going to open up, and if you're comfortable with this risk, come on down. Would yeah. you go? I mean, how much do you miss this and balance that with like how big of this is, you know, is it part of your life? You know what I'm saying?
That's a great question. I think that I'm lucky that my I have no family in America. My wife is with me. If my wife is comfortable with me doing it, I go do it, you know, because it's not
yes,
like
that's
I can.
That's 100% the answer. Yes. So I am 100%. I've realized that I'm quite cavalier with my life. I'm just like, whatever, you know, it's, we're all going to die anyways. But my wife is not comfortable with it, and this is like a I don't know, lesson I guess you can learn from being in long-term relationships. It's if your wife is not comfortable with it, then you are not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. To be fair, I am
such an aggressive thing. It's like jujutsu is like, that's like a blowjob for coronavirus. That's coronavirus's favorite thing. Cause it's like,
yeah,
just on top of each other, you know?
Oh my God. Dude, I mean, it's not just blowjob, okay? It's the 69 coronavirus.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? It's the 69
of... It's his favorite thing.
It's like, it's always like, you know, wanting to do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would do it, but I think the thing is that, like, yes, I don't want to get anyone else sick if somebody... you know, I don't, clearly, obviously my wife, but then other, you know, other people, you know, I'm not into that. My wife is right here and she's giving me a bad look. So, but I do want to ask one, follow up thing. So, you know, when are you coming back, Ronnie? When are you coming? We need you, dude.
We're so fucked.
We need you, dude.
I thought we had a thing, man.
Are you sticking it out in Australia for a while or like what sort of your, I know you've got a lot of projects going on too, so.
Yeah. So I'm still waiting to film the thing I came to Australia for. So they're gonna start production again. So I gotta film that. And again, quite frankly, you know, it's pretty comfortable here. I don't even know if you can. Are there flights back to America? I mean,
logistically,
can you actually go back logistically? So there's that. You know, I don't know when I can go back. I guess the big impetus for me to go back will be when TV production starts again in America, because quite frankly, like right now I'm doing the Daily Show remotely, so even if I go back to New York, I'm going to be doing it from my New York apartment, so it's like you might as well
do it
in Australia and you know and not travel and give the scientists time to find a vaccine. I can't believe we're saying that in real life, but yeah, it's definitely been a surreal 3 months, you know. It is good to see you guys.
Oh, it's been awesome to see you. I mean, thanks again for hanging out. You've done already so much for us. Doing the podcast, giving us a little shout out in the producer like credits for in your credits for your special, which is like mind blowing. I mean,
yeah, thank you.
Insane.
I don't
think
we ever thanked you for that.
No.
I mean, it's crazy that
man.
You did that.
No, you don't understand. Like, I think that people don't understand like that. Like, you build comedy in comedy rooms. Like, that's where you start building it. So all these specials you see on TV, they started in these small rooms. And running those small rooms is a very thankless task, man. You know, it's a bunch of...
Yeah.
You know, you got to get people in. You got to handle the venue. You got a bunch of comics who are, like, angry at you for not booking them. And it's, you know, it's a constant headache. So I just think, like, yeah, I really appreciate... Whenever I go to a comedy room, I'm always like, man, thanks so much for running this room, man. Like, that's how any of us, you know, it's the least we can do to like give a shout out. Jesus. And also Fumi ran a lot of my test shows, much to his own high stress level sometimes.
Oh, at the Cellar? Dude, I legit thought that manager, I like ran Ronnie's show and he was so fucking late and I had to deal with the manager and I was like, oh, I'm never gonna get past her, she hates me now.
I promise you that's not true, because yeah, Fumi did me a huge solid, because he would open for me at the Cellar, so he kind of knew the room, and obviously, you know, great comic, and he knows how to host and hold his own. So when I would do my shows, it would be like, just because he knew the room and he knew the people already, you know, I didn't have to like reintroduce him via email. Like everyone knew him because he'd been there before. So when I was doing my trial shows, I could, and I was doing the Daily Show, I had to run from the Daily Show straight to the trial shows, and sometimes it'd be so tight I couldn't get there in time to set it up. So I knew Fumi would know how to like get the room started so that I could come in 15 minutes late, the show's already going, I can jump on whenever, you know what I mean? As opposed to no one, like just radio silence, everyone just looking at a dark stage for like 30 minutes.
So,
I mean, that's why, you know, Fumi really helped me out with that stuff. So I really appreciate it.
One of the shows, you didn't even come until like the last five minutes or something.
It wasn't because I was being a dick. It was the Daily Show was running, man. And people, it was awful. I felt horrible because I never wanted that to happen. But again, that's, but Mick, that's what you're saying, the energy of New York City. You know, you're running from gig to gig. It's like,
yeah, you're right.
You're always running in New York City.
You're always running.
You're always like trying to do shows. You're trying to, you know, jump on something. You're trying to write a, tell a dick joke. It's just crazy. New York City is crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
oh, man.
It's crazy. I think that's why I was so comfortable with like risking our lives for jujitsu. It's like, it's crazy. Everything is crazy.
Just do it. Just do it.
We don't, I don't have We're kids, already gonna, whatever.
Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. Get the, you know, get, let's get the virus and we can hurry up and live our lives. We should just get it and, yeah, herd immunity. Let's go, herd immunity.
You heard it here first. Ronnie Chang supports herd immunity.
He wants to do herd community, herd immunity. Thank you so much, Ronnie Chang. I mean, I think our fans know who you are, but what? Where can they find you, Ronnie? Where can they see you?
Don't find me on Twitter or Instagram. It's just awful. Don't, seriously, live your life, guys. Don't find me on any of that stuff.
Yep,
it's just,
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, you can find us on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod. You can find me, Mike Nguyen, on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
And I'm on all the platforms at The Fumi Abe. That's THEFUMIABE. Please join us at our Hack City comedy show that Ronnie will not be on. It's every Friday.
Ronnie will not be
8 p.m.
doing that.
Eastern. Just go to our Instagram page and click on the bio link, or just Google Hack City Eventbrite. We also have a Patreon page where we got bonus episodes fired up again, so check that out at patreon.com/asian.asianpod. We got no live shows because this is the only way we're making money, so please, if you're a fan of the pod, if you're a true anal, visit us at Patreon and give us your monies. I think that is it, Ronnie. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you
and
so much, man.
That story you just told made me really miss stand-up, so I'm gonna go cry after this. And honestly, when I see you next, I'm probably gonna be like 32, which is fucking wild, but you know, that's
we'll
just
good,
the way
man.
It is.
It'll come back. I promise. Stand up comedy will come back, man. It'll come back.
But my skills won't come back. That's the problem. So
yeah, so true, bro.
It'll come back.
All right, man. Well, thanks, you guys. So much, and be safe, and say hi to your wife, and we'll see you soon, man. We can't wait.
Peace out, guys.
Bye. And we are back with our Patreon shoutouts. If you don't know what we're about to do, we always give a shout out to our newest Patreon subscribers. If you want to get in on it, go to patreon.com/asiannotasianpod and you get awesome stuff like bonus episodes and shout outs. And if you give enough money, we slide into your DMs. It gets very, very naughty.
Hey.
So here we go. We're going to try to guess our new subscribers' ethnicities based on their last names. Here we go.
Yes.
Ala Ho.
Ala, A-L-A?
Yeah.
A-L-A Ho. Ho, I wouldn't say is Chinese. Ala, A-L-A. That's an interesting name. So I'm going to say...
I've met this person. She's Vietnamese,
oh, you have?
I think.
What?
Ho is Vietnamese, no?
It's not a... It is a Vietnamese name. It's not a very typical Vietnamese name. Okay, fair enough. I was going to say Malaysian.
Maybe she's Chinese Vietnamese. I don't know.
Possible. Very possible.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Ala.
She's a spicy
Asian.
Okay.
Where did you meet this person? Just like at a show?
At Hack City.
Oh. Did I meet this person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
So we met them on the same night we met those ABGs. Yeah.
Oh, that
which I think
night.
they're also Patreon supporters, so thank you, girls.
Oh, thank you very
keep,
much.
Keep dyeing your hair. We got Joshua McCauley.
Joshua McCauley.
Yeah.
McCauley.
That's
an Irish
white,
ass name.
Bro.
That's fucking... This guy might be half though. Half Irish, half
No, he's the one. We've seen him at the Zoom shows. He's the one with the Japanese wife.
Oh, hey,
yeah. Hey, Irish man.
Nice couch. Yeah,
nice couch. Yes. And we got Adrian Formentos.
Formentos.
Can't fool me, Filipino.
Yeah, dude. Adrian. Adrian is a super duper Filipino name.
Yeah.
Filipino name.
Then we got Winnie Wong. H-U-A-N-G.
H-U-A-N-G.
A-G.
Oh, okay. Taiwanese. Yeah, got you.
Yay, Taiwanese. then finally we have Morinobu Yoshida.
Oh, that Jesus. This is not just a Japanese person. This person is from the Cloud Village, okay?
Or he's just a sword. That's what it is.
Shouts to all of our sword Americans out there. Just a sword.
Just a katana, dude.
Just
but
a
yeah,
katana lying on the ground.
Yeah.
Who decided to just give us just a sword on the ground? He was like, you know what? I should donate to this Patreon.
I should do something.
It's just like a sword with like some AirPods plugged in.
Yeah. This is funny, dude. I love it. Thank you, Morinobu, and everybody else who donated. This is about if you are not a subscriber to Patreon, check us out again at patreon.com/asian.asianpod. I promise you it is worth it. We have a secret Facebook group and everything. So join us, check us out, and thank you again.
Bye.
Okay.